Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's 8:50, 70 degrees on Friends Plaza in Urbana, and Dave Dickey is back with our pre-opening commodity market report. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Monday morning, everyone. The Midwest Direct Hog Market is called flat to mostly 50 cents per hundredweight lower amid expected slow demand to begin the new week. Terminals are called steady to weak with top prices in a range from $44 to $48. Peoria is called steady today with a top price of $44. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, July 3rd, negotiated swine purchases were 10,262. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $64 to $70, the weighted average $68.02. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $45.87 to $57, the weighted average $54.37. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 15,554. The base price range was $64 to $72.81. The weighted average, $69.94. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $50.09 to $57.08, and the weighted average was $55.56. Joining us now with a look at the agricultural weather for today and the next few days is meteorologist Scott Althoff.
Net drying occurred in many of the flooded areas of the Midwest during Thursday through Sunday period, where widespread rainfall fell in the lower and eastern portions of the eastern Corn Belt. Much significant rain fell Thursday and Friday in the eastern Corn Belt, where anywhere from a coverage was 65% in rain totals ranged from 0.3 inches to 1 inch, with locals up to 1.5 inches. Northern Illinois through Michigan was mostly dry. The western Corn Belt received 40% coverage of anywhere from 0.1 to 0.5 inch, with up to 1.38 inches at Ottumwa, Iowa, and 2.32 inches at Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Much of the western Corn Belt rain occurred late Sunday and early today. Highly favorable summer crop development conditions will prevail across the Midwest over the next 10 days. Timely rainfall, favorable subsoil moisture, and seasonably warm temperatures will combine to induce aggressive new crop development. Some dryness is present in the topsoil of northwestern Corn Belt areas, but timely rain will fall in parts of the region that will prevent any crop moisture stress of significance from evolving in the coming week. I know it's up in the Kankakee area over the weekend, and the corn fields are about head high, so I expect them to enter the reproductive stage here in the next 1 to 2 weeks. In the U.S. Delta Southeast, rain fell in nearly 100% of the southeastern states Thursday through Sunday, and about 80% of the Delta. The heaviest rain fell from the eastern Carolinas into southeastern Virginia, where 2 to 4 inches amounts were common. Another area of heavy rain occurred and was scattered across parts of southeastern Georgia into portions of eastern and southern Alabama, where 1.5 to 4 inches fell. And much of eastern Arkansas received anywhere from 1 to 3 inches. Soil moisture was improved in these areas, and crop development conditions should be good for a while. Modest improvements in soil moisture occurred in western North Carolina. Central and northern South Carolina and central Georgia were anywhere from 0.75 to 1.5 inches of rain fell. Today's forecast includes restricted rainfall for the Delta and some moisture stress for crops in portions of the region, especially locations that miss significant rain during the weekend. Rainfall will be needed later this month to prevent significant moisture stress from threatening production potentials. The forecast for the southeastern states is a little more favorable than the Delta. Outlook for crop development, frequent showers will bring adequate rainfall to slow drying rates and to maintain acceptable soil moisture to levels to at least some areas. The region will not have an abundance of soil moisture at the end of the two-week forecast, and crops will be vulnerable to moisture stress if a period of hot and dry weather were to develop and occur. In the U.S. Canadian prairies, prairie outlook is much better for this week than suggested last week. However, net drying is expected near the U.S. border, where more crop moisture stress may eventually develop, especially in the southwestern prairie. Rain in the central and northern prairie will occur a little more routinely during the coming week, offering a better environment for crop development. Some improved outlook will include some of the last week's dry weathers of Alberta and Saskatchewan. Southeastern Ontario and Quebec summer crops will experience favorable weather for more aggressive development during the next week to 10 days. And warmer temperatures and some periodic showers and thunderstorms will be great for promoting crop development. In the U.S., hard red wheat belt, scattered showers and thunderstorms occurred in nearly 60% of the hard red wheat country Thursday through Sunday. Highest temperatures in the upper 80s and 90s with numerous extremes highs near and over 100 degrees. Kansas, Colorado, and southwestern Nebraska were the hottest. The heat helped to evaporate moisture from the region and supporting faster grain maturation harvest progress. Today's forecast is wetter for the hard red wheat country than that of late last week, but similar to that of Sunday's outlook. The wetter bias will slow field progress this week, and some of the rain may be locally heavy and could raise some grain quality issues, but the likelihood of serious decline in quality over the large region seems very low. It will definitely not be a premium week of weather, but the very warm temperatures will keep evaporation rates strong enough to minimize the risk to crops. There will be need for drier conditions when the week is done, and next week's weather should return some ridge building to the plains that will stifle some of the precipitation potential and restore warmer temperatures to the region. Harvest progress should advance more readily during the July 16th to the 21 time period. I'm meteorologist Scott Alto. That's your growing weather's outlook.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City July wheat opened at 886.5, down 18.5 last trade, down 25.75. July wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade opened at 865, down 7.75. Last trade, down 27.75. September, 880, down 7.5. Last trade, down 25.75. July corn opened at 730, down 16. Last trade, down 34. September, 745.25, down 12.5. Last trade, down 30. December, 765, down 12. Last trade, down 30. July beans opened at 1641.75, down 16.25. Last trade, down 38.5. November, 1615, down 16. Last trade, down 39.5. July soybean meal opened at 446.40, down 410. Last trade, down 920. July soybean oil opened at 66.50, down 83. Last trade, down 136. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of FC Stone and Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, overnight we saw corn break its 10 and 20 day moving averages to the downside. We had favorable, timely weather over the weekend. In fact, here at Friends Plaza, 86 hundredths of an inch there reported. Favorable conditions reported for the next 2 weeks in the forecast. Are we going to remain in a trading range affair dating back to mid-June or headed south?
Well, I think that's the question they've got to answer here at this point. I remain just embedded in this sideways pattern from now until the market tells me otherwise. I agree with everything you're saying there, and then I think you also throw in that your outside markets are weighing against the marketplace today, too, with crude oil down $4, the dollar's up 0.4 cents, and gold's down $15 this morning. So everything leans towards this thing bouncing back, and I think trade's going to continue to be very sensitive to any weather development. Certainly today, things look much better than they used to. I think that as a farmer out here, you got to start looking at where these support points are at. You take these corn, for instance, our last low was 735.75. I think you close under 735, particularly if we close under 730. I think you got to get some corn sold because we may just see the technical selling come in here and run us all the way back down into that 6 to 650 range that we traded in from April through May until we had the floods come in. So I'm questioning whether we'll break out or not because we've been sideways here for really all of the last 25, 30 days here that we've been trading in this pattern, and I guess I want to wait and see whether it'll bust out. Beans, on the other hand, I think look fairly good. They're still in an uptrend. We set new contract highs on Thursday, so right now you don't get too excitable about beans until they move significantly lower. It looks like their trend is still in place today. And wheat's much like what the corn is. If we break through, like 850 on the SEP wheat, I think you're moving wheat into a downtrend also, and you want to just get wheat sold and move on with it.
Would the downside of your concerned point for beans be around $15?
Oh, I think if you got to 15, you'd have to get real concerned, and I'd probably be ready to sell the next rally if we had something like that happen, Dave. Anything that we would break below, I think you're breaking trend, if you go back below 1475 or close below 1475, now you're starting to break trend. But right now, I got to feel like the bean market's in a solid uptrend, and it doesn't give me any real rush to do anything with it.
Turn your attention to livestock, please.
Yeah, real briefly, though, Inform is going to be out with numbers at 10:30 this morning, Central Standard Time, so people might want to watch that just a little bit. Over the livestock market, we finally had a $100 hogs head on June of 09. So that's what I'd been thinking. At some point, we would take probably the Feb, Aprils, and the Junes up to those levels. On the day-to-day, stuff looks a little bit weak to me. In the cash market, I'm going to guess that we pull back just a little bit on the day, Dave.
45 seconds. What do you think the early word will be for Friday's USDA reports?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think you've got to see the corn exports drop back just a little bit. Feed usage probably drops back a little bit. We probably see crush and exports on beans just kind of offset each other on the S&D on beans.
And would ethanol fall back a little bit on this report as well?
You know, I'm not sure they'll make the change on this report. We've had enough of these plants shut down, but I don't look for them to make much of a change here on the ethanol side. I think it'll mainly be in the feed side where they make the changes.
Thank you very much, Brian. Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company. He joins us every Monday morning on the pre-opening commodity market report. We're on the web 24/7 for you. Go to WILLAG.org. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. The time now is 9:01 Central Time.